Good to be with you this morning. We're in Hebrews chapter 11 for our exhortation. Particularly, we're looking at verse 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. In verse 23, we read, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." This is God's word. Now this morning we look at the faith of Moses' parents, here described in verse 23. But before we do that, I'd like to remind you of the bookends of chapter 11 of Hebrews. These bookends are important in understanding what this whole chapter is about. The first bookend, so to speak, is in Hebrews 10, at the end of Hebrews 10. If you look at verse 36 of Hebrews 10, it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." He here is describing that we need perseverance. We must continue steadfastly in the faith. And he's going to bring out all of these examples to encourage us in what the life of faith looks like. So that's the first bookend. And then the second one is Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. After giving us all these examples, he says in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So he says, you must persevere, and then he gives us these examples. But who is it that we're looking to in faith? It is Jesus Christ. It's not faith in ourselves that is described in this chapter. It is faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we must keep that in mind as we look at each of these examples. So going back to verse 23, in the faith of Moses' parents, in the verses that follow, we have many verses about Moses' faith during the time of the Exodus and in the time in which he left Egypt. But before that, we have to look at his parents, because if his parents had not by faith protected him, there would be no Moses to speak of. So you know the story. The Hebrews had become very numerous. Pharaoh was afraid of the multiplication of the Hebrews. He knew that there were enough of them that they could overtake the Egyptians. And so, like any good tyrant, he decided to start murdering and pillaging and enabled this population control. He was going to kill all the male Hebrew infants. And thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, of these children died at the hands of Pharaoh. But not all of them perished. And in the providence of God, and because of the faith of his parents, Moses was preserved for a very important purpose. Let's look briefly at the account of Exodus 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "A man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. When she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him." So we see the faith of these parents. Not only did they hide him from Pharaoh, but when they were no longer able to protect him themselves, they put him in this little basket, this little ark, and sent him down the river. Can you imagine, for all the parents here, taking your little infant, putting him in a basket and sending them down the river where there's presumably all different kinds of creatures and bad things that could happen to this child. But they did it by faith, is what Hebrews 11 tells us. And it also says in our text that they hid him because he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. And so what I want to focus on in the aspect of faith this morning is that it is by faith that we overcome the fear of man. They were not afraid of Pharaoh's command to kill all these infants. Moses' parents faced a severe judgment. They might have lost their lives if they had been discovered, but they were not afraid. How is it that faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God, helps us to overcome the fear of man? Matthew Henry explains it this way. He says, faith is a great preservative against the sinful, slavish fear of men, because it sets God before the soul and shows the vanity of the creature and its subordination to the will and power of God. So faith does two things in relation to the fear of man. First, it sets God before the soul. It sets God before our eyes and we see Him who is much bigger than any man. And then secondly, it shows the smallness of man, that man is under the sovereign hand of God. He cannot do anything unless God so wills it to come to pass. So it is faith in the sovereignty and the presence of God that preserves us from the fear of man. We see this also in Moses, a couple verses later, verse 27 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith he, that is Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, he persevered, as seeing him who is invisible. He saw the invisible God who was there and who was caring for Moses at every point. And so, just as Moses' parents faced the challenge, the temptation to succumb to the fear of man, so we also face the same temptation. And we must confess that far too often we have made man much bigger than God when we are faced with daily decisions. Ed Welch wrote a book on the fear of man, and he called it, "When People Are Big and God Is Small." That is a very appropriate way to think about it. We confess that God is eternal, that He is boundless, that He is all-powerful, that He is sovereign, and then we somehow act as if man is more powerful, much bigger, more sovereign. We confess this theology that is true, but then we turn it on its head when we succumb to the slavish fear of men. We entertain a false theology. And when we are ruled by that fear of man, we're not acting in faith. We are acting in fear. Proverbs 29, verse 25, this important passage on the fear of man, it reminds us of the dangers of the fear of man. Verse 25 of Proverbs 29. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. If we live by the fear of man, we're going to make every wrong decision imaginable at every point. We know that we can't please everybody, but we somehow still try. And if Moses' parents had succumbed to the fear of man, Moses would not have been alive anymore, would he? They would have made the wrong decision. And sometimes we succumb to this fear of man when there is a much less severe punishment facing us. Perhaps disapproval. That serious thing that we fear so much, the disapproval of men. But the promise of Proverbs 29 says, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. It doesn't mean that we're going to be preserved from all sorts of earthly injury. Moses' parents risked death, but they were safe because they were doing the will of God and acting in faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, do not fear man who can only kill the body, but rather fear him who can kill both body and soul by throwing it into hell. Who are we to fear, brothers and sisters? The God who in a second can take someone and put them into hell, or man who can do nothing but hurt our bodies? Who will we fear? So as we come to this time of confession of sin, we're reminded of our weakness of faith, as we are with each of these examples. We know that we have sometimes fallen prey to the fear of man. We've fallen into this snare. It's grabbed us. It has enslaved us. And it has caused us to do the wrong thing. The opinion, the perspectives, and the limited power of man have been far too big in our estimation. But as we confess our sins, remember the promise of pardon. As we pray, as we confess these things, we confess the idol of the fear of man, and we remember the promise that God is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your word. We are grateful that every week we hear that promise of pardon, that our sins are forgiven, that we have been set free. And we confess that we have feared man far too often, not enduring, not persevering as seeing you who are invisible and who have given us your promises. We pray that you'd forgive us for finding security in the approval of men rather than looking to you. And we ask that you'd grant us by faith not to fear man, but to put our trust in you and to enjoy and experience that safety that comes when we put our trust in you. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.